This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
And welcome back, everybody. Addiction is real. Many are addicted to many different things. Today we're going to talk about an addiction, but it's not one that you're probably envisioning when you hear that word addiction. We're going to talk to addiction or addicted to suffering. So many of us are just stuck in this mode of chaos, negativity. We don't even know we're doing it because it's become the norm in our lives. How do we get out of that? Part of that is through trust, transformation, grounding. And we're going to talk with somebody that pilots people through that addiction and more with effective coaching. Dawn Cannon, back on the program. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I am good. I am good. And it's funny when you start thinking over your life, how there might have been times where you've been in a situation and you'd call up your friend or friends and you just want them to say what you want to hear so you can keep the cycle going of that addiction to suffering. You don't even know you're doing it, but you're caught up in it. And you don't believe what they said. Can you believe this? Blah, 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 blah. Could be the same situation for years, you know, just different forms of the same situation. Is it because we're creatures of habit and that we crave familiarity that we can become addicted to this thing called suffering?
I think a lot of it has to do with our nervous system. We get stuck in that fight or flight mode, depending on what you're carrying around with you, all that. And fight or flight's just looking for survival and therefore looking for all the dangers, all the risks. It gets really easy, I think, to start focusing on all the negative, what can go wrong. And once you fall into that trap, if you're not really conscious of it and aware of it, I think it's easy to get stuck there.
It is. why do we want to be in that fight or flight mode? I mean, I got to believe deep down inside, we know it doesn't support us.
I think you're right. I don't know that anybody wants to be there. I think it's our body. I think our body takes over. And, you know, there's this part of your brain that has fight or flight. And when it's in charge, you can't see all the other options. In your brain, there's that, you know, default mode network, which is where you kind of get access to more that relaxed part of your brain. We access it when we rest, when we meditate, things like that. And if you can get there and start to see it and for a moment not be in the chaos or in the suffering, then this light bulb goes off that, oh, this actually feels a lot better. I should start figuring out how to be here. But I think there's lots of us that spend years of our life stuck in fight or flight, and we don't even really realize we're there.
Well, before we talk about the remedy or the potential remedy to it, let's talk about the things that it's doing to you. You don't even realize that it's impacting your health in a major way. Yeah. All that disease or disease and chronic issues and everything could be coming from that, but you're not even putting that together, right?
Yep. No, I personally, in my own journey, have struggled with, they could never diagnose what my autoimmune condition was, but I had basically rheumatoid arthritis symptoms and all kinds of signs. And it was really just my body starting to scream that we've operated at this pace for too long. We can't do this anymore. And when I chose to step away, I will tell you though, when I chose to step away and start to find a slower pace in life, it actually got worse for a while. So just want to call that out, that it didn't immediately get better. And I think it's the stress of when I left the corporate world. So I left twice. Once I took a 2.5 year sabbatical, then I went back as COO for another 5 year stint before I left again. And I think when I left the second time, I thought I knew what I was in for because I had done it once before with a sabbatical. And yet when I made this choice that felt more permanent, it was surprising to me what my ego did starting to kind of separate myself from that. Well, first of all, my departure wasn't totally on my terms. Like I put in my notice, I was giving 6 months notice thinking I'm doing this great thing for a company. And because I had a high up position, they had me go home almost immediately. And so I planned to work for 6 months, and now here comes my break I said I wanted, much faster than I anticipated. That seems like it should be all a good thing. I kept getting a paycheck. I have nothing to complain about, but I will tell you, my ego, no, I was always the savior. How could they not need me to save them and help them through this? And so I think when I first left and I chose myself, life got a lot more stressful for me on the inside because I was going through this personal, honestly, it was an identity crisis. It was realizing just how much work defined who I was, what I was producing mattered in that way. And so for a while it got worse. I had rheumatoid arthritis like I had never had before right after I had quit. But the more I started to see it for what it was and started to rest, the more it started to go away. I started to get access to that part of my brain that could figure out how to relax, all those things.
I get what you're saying. I don't want to, you know, say been there, done that, but I understand it. And it's interesting when you look at it from a different angle, how you see it. One example, I do what I just started this year. I call it the Steve Retreat. I go away solo. Never, ever in my entire life would think I would do that.
Yep.
And it was kind of scary in the beginning. Uncomfortable. But after a while, I was like, this is great. And I did it a couple of days ago, came back, did nothing. Went to an island, dirt cheap, the ocean, me, no people really. And I am so looking forward to doing it again and again, because what came up of just reading, relaxing, reflecting, once you come back, you realize, not that then, you know, anything's wrong, but you realize the difference between the two.
You get perspective.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, this life is life, and that's, you know, that's the way it is. That's the way life's supposed to be. But when you take yourself out of it, almost like pick yourself up and drop yourself somewhere for a few days and see it from the other side, you see it, like you really get it, and you get you. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's what we're talking about here. Finding you, getting you, you know, like people talk about other people, man, I don't get you. Well, do you get yourself?
That's half the time we don't. You're exactly right. I didn't. Like I said, I left the corporate world thinking it was going to be easy. I did it one other time. I knew I'd fill it with hobbies, fun stuff. And no, I was met with this like identity crisis I wasn't prepared for.
Well, okay, to your point, I have a friend of a friend, and his friend lives in New York City, penthouse overlooking Central Park, tons of money, like just, oh, good. He retired. And a few weeks after he retired, my friend stops by just to say hi, and the man is curled up in a ball in his penthouse, crying, just like, I don't know how, just what you said, because his job defined him. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Yeah, all this stuff around me is fantastic, but who am I? I don't get me anymore. I thought I got me.
Yep.
But maybe the thought of who you were wasn't really you.
You're exactly right. It just took me a while to get there.
Yeah, I get it. And then therein lies maybe that's the chaos. Maybe what you thought was you, I don't mean you, but just in general you, is that tumultuous world of everything crazy going on. Blah, blah, blah. Maybe we do it because we don't want to confront the real us. So we put those things out there. We're always busy. I'd like to meet with you. I can't right now. I got this going on. You may be genuinely busy, but you could always, I'm sure, find time for you if you want to make the time. But I think many of us are afraid to. We might, because of what we might find if we find the time.
I remember once a therapist kind of called me out on that. And I had said it felt like chaos was just attracted to me. And in the business world, I was always over operations. And I loved it because it is chaos to manage. And it did feel a lot like chaos was attracted to me. What I realized when I left it is it was attracted to me because I was always that person to volunteer to throw myself on the sword and do it because I got something out of that. My ego did, whatever it was. So when we kind of feel like we're trapped in that cycle of chaos is attracted to us, there really might be things we're doing that call it in, not intentionally. Mm-hmm. And we're all human and we get to be. But they're, you know, if you're not conscious of that energy you're putting out and you're kind of getting your identity, your self-worth, whatever it is from those, from fixing other people's problems, whatever it is, we are kind of calling it in then.
Well, while I was away on my little retreat, I was reading another book about manifesting. And some believe that whatever's around us is a mirror of within. We created it.
Yeah.
All of us, everything around, we created it. We don't realize it, but we did. Mm-hmm. And like you talk about the energy, if that's you inside creating it unknowingly even, your energy is being transmitted out and could be drawing that chaos to you, whether you want it or not. And sounds like in your case, you wanted it. Because it felt good.
Yeah, I think I would have told you I didn't, but there was a part of me that did. I just didn't know it existed.
Yes. And you know, the whole manifestation thing, I'm still trying to figure it out already. But in my moment of reading this book, it's going to sound weird, but the place I was, I found this condo complex with nobody around because they're snowbirds. So they'll be coming back in November, which is why I went. Peaceful, quiet. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, that's what I dreamt. This exact scenario is almost what I, not almost, it was.
Yeah.
A little tiny restaurant there with a little bar, you know, buy a steak for $12 with everything. I'm like, this is like, I think I manifested it, I found it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was looking for. So, you know, sometimes they say, be careful what you're looking for because you might find it. I'm happy I did. But the other stuff, you know, if you're looking for it, you're probably going to find it. You're looking for chaos?
You're
going to find it.
You can call it in. You can call it in. It's out there, that's for sure.
Right. Like, it's like Uber. Let me call chaos. When's going to show up? So how do we undo that when we finally realize, and hey, that's not supporting me, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when you truly figure it out as you did, how do you undo it?
Well, I think, first of all, a lot of us have to hit some weird rock bottom place, which is just kind of unfortunate that you have to hit this place that you realize.
I agree.
You're really not happy in life. Traumas, divorce, whatever it is that wakes you up. Many of us have them. So if you can find some way to do it without that, wonderful. But most of us get there by hitting a rock bottom. And I think it's all about starting to become self-aware. And I would have said that years ago too, but I didn't understand it to the level I do now. Self-aware is not just, you know, journaling and things, of course, help, but it's like getting beneath all those layers of BS and getting at those parts of ourselves that maybe we don't want to see is the honest truth. That's what my therapist had encouraged me when we had that talk, and she kind of pointed out that I could be drawing it in, was, what if you started looking in the areas that are where you do everything in your life to not look, because that's probably where the answer is. Mm. And for me, it was busyness. Like, I wore busyness as a badge, and in our society, people praise it. I was the single mom who had this big corporate career, work tons of hours. On the outside, people thought I had it all together. On the inside, I was crumbling, though. And when I started to actually look at that and realize all the things I would have told you I wanted in life, like to be a good mom, to show up for my kids, to have time for the things that bring me joy, I wasn't given time to any of that stuff. I was so busy fixing other problems. Some of them were mine to fix because of the role I had, but really a lot of them were, I was putting myself in that place. And so starting to find ways we can become more self-aware. And I think that really is a very individual journey. For some of us, like for me, the path started with yoga and just realizing if you develop a close relationship with yoga, you start to realize that the things you fight on your mat and trying to put your body into this physical shape are the same patterns you face in your life, like either over-efforting, those kinds of things. There's lots of yoga poses that cannot be mastered by over-efforting. You actually just have to sort of surrender, like certain balancing poses. You have to be willing to possibly fall on your face, like shift your weight forward enough, your feet are going to float up off the ground. That might mean you fall on your face, or it might mean you master the pose and you have to take the risk. For a lot of us, we spend so much time trying to build muscle and out-muscle it instead of just surrendering to it. And it was things like that that I started to get these little clues of, oh, look at that part of myself that I didn't think was there, but it is. And for me, where it really came in was yoga nidra, which is a form of deep meditation. And it's all about awareness. Whoever walks you through a yoga nidra session walks you through layered awareness of realizing what's going on in your body, in your mind. And it puts you in a state of sort of becoming a third-party observer to your own stuff. Mm. And when you can become a third-party observer, it becomes a little bit easier to just watch it without needing to change it. And it, for me, it was completely transformational.
So, talked a lot about yoga. Never heard it described the way you just did. And now I'm more getting it. Meditation, I'm there. Yeah. Am I a great meditator? No, but I'm good. I got it. I never realized how those poses could mimic life situations, if you will.
Yep.
And the third party thing, interesting how you say that, because I, in the meditation thing, which is part of yoga, right?
Yep. Yes.
I was at the gym last month and I'm doing, extensions. So you know, simple stuff. You're on a basic piece of equipment and you're just bending forward and then back up, basically building your lower back, sides, that kind of thing. Maybe pick up a weight as you do it. And you know, after a while, I'm like, oh, I'm getting kind of tired. All right. So I don't know why. I just was staring at a bolt on a machine in front of me. And then I just closed my eyes. Could have been more than like 6 seconds, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I open them up. And then I continue doing the reps. I felt like I was looking at myself from above down. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was doing them. It was the weirdest thing, like superpower. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, this is great. Yeah. Like, I don't even know I'm doing them. And yeah. I experienced that again the other day when I was away. And there's two flights of stairs to get up to where I was staying. And it was like, you know, with the humidity, it was like 100 degrees, no joke. And not a big deal. But as I'm walking, I'm like, oh, I'm a little tired. My legs are a little sore. After walking back from meditating, you know, by the beach, I didn't even know I was walking up the steps. I was like, this is weird. Are these my legs? What's going on there? It was like almost a mild out-of-body experience, if you will. No substances involved or anything like that. You know, didn't microdose or anything. Just like it was a cool thing. And I kind of, like you described it, third party. I never thought of it that way. But that's what can come from this kind of stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah. And I think it's when you get really intentional about that focus on like just awareness of you and different ways of going about it. You don't have to be sitting in a yoga studio meditating. You can be at the gym looking at a bolt. and it's like just... I think it is when we were talking about your brain being in that fight or flight, we don't have access to that state whatsoever. We're in survival. Mm. But when you step back a little bit, you gain access to this part of your brain we often don't know is there. That's for really, sure. really powerful.
and to that point, what you said a few moments ago, when you're going through a challenge, that's the refocus. And somebody who is famously intuitive told me, and this was after I talk about jobs. I worked at a job for almost 30 years. Started when I was a kid, hit it big.
Yep.
It was a big job. Like, and it was very, very good, but it was time to go. They, you know, they were just, it just wasn't wasn't me anymore and vice versa, and was a mutual parting. But I was talking to him on the phone, and I, and like you, I got severance, I got insurance. It was fine. But I'm on the phone like, what am I going to do now? And like when it runs out, I mean, he's like, when you're at your lowest point, you are most humble.
Yeah.
And that's crystal clear. Like you get it when you're at that point. It sucks at the time, but that's where it all, maybe that's the rebirth and the magic. That's where it begins.
Yeah. It gives us the gift of perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. What are some of the other ways that we can get out of that mode of the addiction to suffering or just trying chaos and all of that? Is it just taking some time aside, taking some time to maybe just walk through the woods and just think, get grounding?
Yeah. So I think a lot, one, you have to figure out for you, what are those things that help you relax? Because it really is individual. Like to tell certain people don't relate to yoga whatsoever, for them, running on a treadmill is the same state and wonderful, whatever works. Mm-hmm. But I think it's that, like, we get really intentional about exploring how can I feel relaxed? Can my brain let go of that grip? And some of that's playing around. I mean, like, I can't tell you the number of different modes of meditation and different things I've tried. Some of them were a miserable success. They didn't connect with me whatsoever, but then some of them did. So just trying all kinds of different things till you find the thing that works. Mm. And then I think it's getting intentional about it. So going, okay, what if I start small and I'm going to now do this type of meditation I found that works for me, whether it's breath work, whatever it is, for 5 minutes a day for the next week, 10 minutes a day for the next week. And just starting to schedule in those breaks, what I found was once I started to get intentional about that, it just grew because naturally I started to feel more calm. And why wouldn't I want to figure out how to do more of that? And I think I used to think I couldn't have both a busy career and this calm mind. And what I've realized is it's, you know, you use the word manifesting. I'm going to say it's about intention, which is also manifesting. But it's, if my intention is clear that what I want is both to be successful and have my priorities straight and calm, then I have to be intentional about where I put my time. And that means not, you know, working a 60-hour work week, or I'm going to feel bad about how I showed up for my child this week. Mm-hmm. It means truly scheduling the time so I work when I need to work, I rest when I need to rest, and I show up in the other places I want to show up how I want to show up. But it's getting really intentional about it.
I'm feeling that you need to be open to different things. Like, I you know, as we're talking now, I'm realizing I've had the epiphanies and the most wonderful meditation moments with my eyes open, staring at that bolt. Or there was another time I was with a energy healer and I was staring at a squishy ball on a pencil.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was 21 again.
I once did a writing apprenticeship where they taught us a form of meditation that was with your eyes open. And up until then, I had always thought, you know, the goal of meditation is close your eyes and clear your thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, when I close my eyes, anything but clearing my thoughts happens. They ramp up 10 times. And so he taught this form that was more like single point of focus of staring at something, but then like watching what your mind does. And that was a life changer for me in starting to explore meditation.
Yes. I thought it was a failure until I did that. And and the meditation thing works for me, but it's with the eyes closed, but it's conditional. Like first thing in the morning when you first wake up and you're in that state, then it's like, all right, I'm gonna close my eyes. You know, sometimes I fall back to sleep, not a bad thing. Yep. Or before you go to bed, that kind of thing. But during the day, no, I could just stare at anything right now and I'm out of here. You know, I'm here, but I'm out of here. Wonderful talking with you today. How does somebody connect with you, Dawn, if they want to have a conversation? Maybe they've got a lot going on, the chaos, and they want to minimize that. How do they do that?
So a few options, but the best way is through my website, which is www.the-creatrix.com. And I do offer free 20-minute consultations. They can get on my calendar and we just have a chat to see where they're at, what they're looking for, if this might, you know, if the things I offer might be a good fit. I also, in my store, have lots of free meditations and things people can try. So everything's on my website.
I was not aware that you had meditations. I will be hitting that up.
I just put one out this week about filling your cup early in the morning. So it's a guided meditation to envision your cup getting full before you go out into the day of, that's probably going to deplete what's in your cup.
I'm going to be working on that later, actually.
Very good.
Very, very serious. thank you for today. Eye-opener. This conversation, an eye-opener for many, and I appreciate it. We'll catch up soon.
That sounds great. Thanks. Thank you. It was great talking to you.
You too.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.